Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, Eden is a kingdom.
An Eden mindset is a kingdom mindset.
Let me hear ya.
Where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see you do your hands like this. Here we go.
When God made man, he made a feeling. It was a plan that we live like.
All right. Well, I'm sorry about that. But again, I say good evening to our Blog Talk listeners. Thank you once again for joining us on this Monday night for my sister, my friend. We want to give a shout out to our friends and our partners and just everybody who's on the line listening tonight or those that are listening by cyberspace. We want to let you know that My Sister, My Friend is a program here to encourage, uplift, and provide information, resources, and current events for our sisters and brothers now that listen in. We are happy to, again, have our friend on today, Ms. Carol Reed. Ms. Carol Reed is a project management professional, but primarily claiming the title of humanitarian in her quest to do God's work. She participates in community volunteer work, mostly related to prison ministry for youth and adults. As a graduate of SMU, she still participates in and promotes human rights activities on campus and will make announcements concerning those events on campus from time to time. We are proud and happy to have her join us tonight to continue in our conversation that we were having on the effects of politics on our faith from last month this time. And I have a caller that, will you please mute your background noise, please, because we're picking you up and hearing what's going on in your background. So, as you know, we're being recorded, so when we listen back at this recording, we don't want to have all that background in it because we want everybody to be able to hear what we're going to talk about tonight. Thank you so much. I just love you all. So, Carol, Beverly, who is our sponsor from Granny's Place, would you say hello to our listening audience?
Good evening, everyone.
Yeah, thank you both. I did say Carol and then I said Beverly. But Carol, Beverly did say hello and thank you both. Carol, you can go ahead and start the conversation tonight. And Beverly, you feel free to come in as you please, okay? I'm sorry.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to My Sister, My Friend. We had an awesome time on last week. We were just getting heated, and I mean to tell you, it was me, Beverly, and Lissandra, and I mean, we had us a conversation all the way itself. So we welcome y'all to join in tonight. And I just, I mean, of any affiliation, so Democrat, Republican, Independent, Undecided, don't care, you know, come on in and voice your opinion and let's talk about it. And where we left off last time, we talked about the ugliness of the civil rights, of the 2016 election, for presidential election, and how, I mean, just how ugly it's gotten out there with the candidates, and pretty much on both sides. We tried to keep it civil here lately, but Brandon decided he's going to go negative after all on Hillary. But we are talking about how bad things have gotten out there, and we are talking about how in the presidential election we have literally lost our way. Our moral compass in some kind of way has been turned off because we're following candidates that are out there spewing hatred, division, violence at times. They're talking about each other's wives. We got people talking about people unqualified and you know, subliminal messages of all kinds. And so with that said, we talked about how we as Christians, how are we conducting ourselves during this presidential election? And with that, the question came up last week, where's the church involvement? We know that during the Civil Rights Movement, the African-American church, or the church in general, all churches, were at the seat of the Civil Rights Movement. They organized it for the Civil Rights. It was the meeting place, the organization place. All the parishioners from the churches organized within that social, political time, troubled time. And many times, you know, eventually brought a civilized and a resolution to apprehending civil rights. So now we move fast forward to 2016, and we say, okay, now we're here. And we've gotten our right to vote, which was one of the things we fought for in the civil rights, which we've organized for that. And so the church was, you know, woefully involved in the political process. And so today we ask the same question, where is the church in this one? And especially with the negative and ugly tone that it's taking, where is the church? Where are our leaders? Where are we, the congregation, to step forward and say to our candidates and to those who choose to lead us, hey, you guys need to really, y'all need to check yourselves, because it's a bit much and it's gotten out of hand. And then we also touched on people who call themselves evangelical Christians, and but yet will follow someone who seems to be a large supporter of someone like Cruz. I mean, Donald Trump and Cruz, for that matter, who espoused division, put the Mexicans back over wherever, they're rapists, they're murderers, put a fence up. While abortion is wrong, and we all believe that, the whole notion of punishing a woman for it, and so on and so forth. So what's your take on it? What do you feel? Do you feel like the church should be involved? Do you feel like the church should just stay out of it? You know, people come with the separation of church and state. I mean, what are your feelings tonight regarding this issue?
Beverly, go ahead.
Well, when I was listening to you talk, and I thought about when the issue came up about taking prayer out of the schools, it seemed like the church started stepping back away from its involvement in government, in families, and it just started really separating itself from a lot of issues, and because that would have been the prime time for the government, for churches to step in and say, no, we're not going to go with that, and to push the families and stand behind the families and stop that act. But the church, to me, it seems like the church has decided that it wants to be separate from the government. And I don't believe that was the way it was intended to be, that the church would be so separate from the government that when things go on, they have absolutely nothing to say about it. They don't try and pull the congregations together and say, this is what we've got to change, this is what we've got to do. And that's what Martin Luther King did. That's what people did before Martin Luther King got established and started pushing for civil rights. And that's one of the reasons that he started pushing, because he saw that nobody was really doing anything. And so he started pushing for people's rights, because there wasn't anybody standing up for anybody's rights. And now it seems like the church has decided that they're no longer going to get involved in what's going on around the country. We know the federal government says that they're a separation of state and church. But it seems like the church has gone along and accepted that separation, church and state. They no longer stand up and make comments about what the government is doing wrong. They never, you don't see the churches a long time ago, before Martin Luther King, during Martin Luther King, had some comment and would stand up, and the ministers would get out of the pulpit and they would march and they would say that the rights of human beings citizens, Americans, workers, men and women, the government has to acknowledge the rights of all human beings, and that was what Martin was about. That's what that movement was about. It wasn't for just for blacks. It was just for everybody, for every human being to have the rights to vote, to have a job, to live in clean housing, fair housing, to have a decent job, for a man to be able to feed his family, for a woman if she didn't have a husband, if she was a widow or she was a divorcee, her husband just abandoned them, that she had a right to work and feed her family, and that she had a right to security as well.
Right.
But it, to me, when I'm looking at the church now, and I grew up in the 50s, the church has accepted that separation of state and government and church. And I don't really understand why, because how can you have a separation when everything that we do, we don't serve Christ just on Sunday. We serve him Monday through Sunday, every day, every hour.
Amen.
And so how can we only say that we're only going to talk about church matters in church, and what happens in our personal life doesn't affect us in our church life?
Mm.
I don't understand how the two can be separate. And I don't understand why the pastors today are not saying anything. They're not saying anything about Donald Trump's crazy remarks. They're not saying anything about what Ted Cruz is saying. They're not. Ted Cruz was the one that, you know, closed down federal government a couple of years ago. He makes a lot of racial comments, although he does them on the sly, but he still makes them. But the churches, the pastors, the ministers, they're not saying anything.
Well, Bella, can I pose this question
confused.
To you? Can I pose this question to you now? And to your point, you are so right, because this country was actually founded on biblical principles. We broke away from the Roman Catholic Church and we came here and we decided, you know, that we didn't need to talk to a priest. We could talk to God ourselves, and we established, we came over here to be independent and create the United States of America and started to do our own thing and worship God directly in our own way. So to your point, I mean, this country was founded on Christian principles. However, so with that said, so we've been, the church has been here a long time involved in the shaping and the forming of our political system. So with the evolution of how things have come about, and I hear you saying about how the minister said, so, you know, we got all these great mega churches and things now, and there is a lot of prosperity that comes with that. So do you think that is a possibility that maybe the ministers don't want to offend their congregation based on the political views the people in the congregation might have? You didn't want to separate the church. You didn't want to offend anybody, and then they don't like what they have to say, and then they break and leave the church. Do y'all suspect that some of that's going on?
I think so, probably in some churches, particularly the mega churches. Now we have this view across the country that we can't offend you. If you're a man wanting to be a woman, we can't offend you. If you're a woman wanting to be a man, we can't offend you. If you say you're transgender, gender transcend, or whatever you might think in your mind that you are, that God didn't know what he was doing when he created you, and he made you one thing, and your mind says that you're something else, and we can't offend you. We can't say that if you're gay, we don't like it. We have to say that we like it. So it's on every level that you can't say this and you can't say that for fear of funding, for fear of that you'll alienate someone, just like what was here yesterday and the day before, I think, in Mississippi and another state. They said they weren't going to be open to transgenders and some gays. And so now you have the Brit rock stars saying that they weren't going to go to those states because those states wouldn't be tolerant. They wouldn't accept those people. So now you're going to tell the state that if you don't accept these people, we're not going to bring money there. We're not going to play in your state. So you have to be tolerant and accepting of everybody. So it seems like some of the churches, the ministers, the board of directors or trustees have decided that it's more important that they be accepting of everybody and everybody's condition and everybody's opinion in order to be to maintain. I think it's a, and then others, I'm wondering if they just don't get involved because, you know, there was a for the last 10, maybe last 20 years, the government has been threatening to tax the church. Now, it's never been done before since the United States started. They've never taxed the church. The church has always been exempt from taxation.
Right.
And so in the last 20 years, there's always been that threat that they're going to tax the church, that they're going to tax the church for land that the church has. They're going to tax the church for any income that they may receive. So that's why a lot of the pastors that were making large sums of money had to go on and separate themselves from the church and make their own company, per se, like Tony Evans and Bishop Jakes and some of the other ones that have large churches. They had to go on and create their own business or their own nonprofit so that they would be separated from the church, because then the government said, Internal Revenue said, well, we're going to come in and look at your books if we look at you're doing this and you're doing that. So I think for some of them, I won't say all of them, but for some of them, it might have been why they decided to be mute. But I don't understand completely, because they didn't say anything when the prayer was taken out of the schools. And, you know, so I'm not quite sure if that's why, but I agree that it probably is a big reason why some of them don't say anything.
Okay, I am in agreement with you, Beverly. I was sitting here just thinking about money is the biggest issue of all. When you were talking about taking the concerts to certain states, if they didn't allow us to go along with them forcing the gender spectrum on us, well, they were going to withdraw. And if they withdrew, that was about money. They couldn't make the money that they needed, that they wanted to make off of these concerts or in these states. And it goes the same for the bigger churches. If you don't go along with society or the norm that they're projecting onto us, the people in the church who profess to be Christians are going to withdraw. And they're going to take their money out. So that I'm looking to see, I'm thinking this is just my opinion, which is just, you know, just an opinion, that that's the more the reason why the bigger churches, the mega churches are going along with it and keeping it swept up under the carpet, because a lot of different sexes make money. You know, the transgenders and all the homosexuals, all those people are in high positions also. And they make a lot of money, and they contribute big sums of money, you know, to the churches. So why you going to ruffle their feathers and take away from what's going, you know, the money that's coming in the church? I can see that. And I believe maybe
so
that is some of the things that are happening.
What about the little churches? Why are they doing it?
Well, you know, the little churches don't have no voice, because they don't make enough money. They just they're there. They're trying to protect project, but just because they're not in high standing or the upper echelon, they their voices don't mean anything. You know,
they don't have as much power or much you know, and plus also we have to remember that you know, you know, a lot of politicians visit churches. They know that the church has money and power behind it, and they can go and garner votes from those Christian, those people in the churches. Just like I said, they make a big deal of evangelical Christians following Donald Trump or following Ted Cruz. And so particularly that group tends to agree with the doctrines and theories behind or their platform. And, you know, but it seems that, you know, and I hear, you know, people talking about being politically correct and how Donald Trump is not politically correct and the whole business of not being politically correct. Then why then, if they're so bold not to be politically correct, then why can't the church be so bold to be not be politically correct and say, hey, you know, you can't follow a guy who's going to call all Mexicans racist and killers as if there weren't any before Mexicans got here. You can't say, you know, you can't incite violence and cause division between races. You can't do these things. That, you know, that's not politically correct what they're doing. So I figure if a politician can be not be politically correct and spew all kinds of nonsense and hatred, then why can't the church get themselves together, not be politically correct, and say, this is where you guys are wrong. You know, you've lost your moral compass. You know, you're not doing – the children are watching. And, and you guys will say and do anything to get a vote. And at some point, at some place, you know, y'all need to stop and check yourselves, especially when you sit and claim that the Bible is my favorite book. You know, and then you can't even quote the scripture right, talking about 2 Corinthians
now,
like it by me. Somebody
you
needs
did,
to
what
come
did you
on
say?
It.
Their favorite book? They didn't say their favorite instruction, or they didn't say their favorite word from God or from the Lord. They said book. Just
said
generally. Smile B, smile O, smile O, smile K. Book to them. You know, they don't stand. They're not standing on their word. They just saying it's just a book. It's their favorite book, 2 Corinthians.
Corinthians.
Yeah, and see, and a lot of them don't stand on the principles and the values of the book. Since they say it's their favorite book, why are you not standing on it? Why are you not standing on the word of the book?
That comes to the question about. When Martin Luther King started this movement and other guys, other churches, those were some small churches. When you go down that line and you see the church he started out, it's not a big church. It's not a small church, not a tiny church, but it's not a real big church. But he got pastors got together and there were things happening. And things weren't being, people weren't getting their rights. And so the pastors got together. And they stood together and they walked together and they said, we're not getting jobs. Our families aren't getting food. This and this is happening. And so we need to stand up. And if we die, we die. But let's die for something. Let's live for nothing. And so, but now it seems like we're just being tolerant. And everything they want to do,
yeah.
We let them do it. You know, when Trump said that, there should have been pastors standing up saying no. When he came up with that issue about the women, when he came up with that issue about the Hispanics, Mexicans were here before white people got here. Indians were here before
the
white people got here.
They sure were
here. They were already here. That's why Mexicans get upset when they tell them that they were we were already here. They didn't just get here when the people came from England and they came from other places. They were already here.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell somebody they want to send you back from someplace. Says, well, we were already here before you got here, before the Europeans came. We were here. But what my concern is that we're not standing up and saying. No, we're not going to be tolerant of this. If the Christians are going to not stand up and we're not going to say anything and we're not going to stand and fight, we don't have to have a war. All we got to do is stand up together march around the place. All we got to do is say, no, we're not going to, no. I'm not going to be tolerant of that. And if you don't want to give me any funds, then you don't want to give me any funds, because let me tell you, I don't depend on man. I depend on God.
Well,
that's who I trust. That's who I believe. And his promises are true. And so if you don't want to fund me, if you don't want to do that, I'm not here to serve man. I'm here to serve God. And I'm going to do what God says do. And I know that if I do what God says do, he's going to make sure that all my needs and all the provisions, everything that we need is there.
Yep.
Martin Luther King, them, when they did those marches, they didn't have money. Martin didn't make any money. The church gave him what they could give him. Other places gave him things. But God
provided
for those people.
That's right. And you say this right here, Beverly, you're certainly right about that, because people don't need to stop and think about it. The Montgomery boycott, bus boycott, was an organization of churches down there in Montgomery, Alabama. An organization of churches that got together. If you had cars, you brought your car, for those of the very few who owned them. If you had, they pulled together, they pulled their church monies together and bought some cars and station wagons. And they designed and established, and one guy had a car lot, and on that car lot they created a pseudo bus station, if you will. And so African American people could go to this car lot, where they set up. All these ministers came together. Like I said, who had cars, they put those cars in the rotation. They put those, they bought some cars and they put those in the rotation. And for a year, they were able to. And if you could walk, they said, if you can't ride, then walk where you're going. But if you can't walk, then we're going to start having people, but you can come here and get a ride. For a year, the church organized their own transit system to effect change in the Montgomery boycott. They bankrupted and shut down the Montgomery bus transit system because they organized and built their own transit system for 1 year. Now, if they could do that to Beverly City, we wouldn't have the abundance of money that people have now. I mean, it wasn't millionaires all over the place right now. And she's right. I've been on two civil rights pilgrimages, and I can tell you I've had an opportunity to go to all the historic churches where they organized. I have gone to all the historic places that Martin Luther King them. And she's right. They didn't have money. There were people there who housed them up and fed them food. And we were able to get in one lady's house. She'd been housing the civil rights Abernathy Olive in her house for years. And we got to sit in that same room.
Right.
And they fed them and they did everything. And that's the thing. They were able to do that and affect change. And when they got through, and when those buses were empty, that was Montgomery buses were empty, they had to cave and they had to say, from now on, black people sit where they want to sit. Now, if we could do that back then with so little that we had then somebody tell me why we can't affect something with all that we have now.
Listen, we had,
that's what I'm saying.
Blacks lived in the 50s, we had one-fourth of what we have now. One-fourth of what we had now. There weren't, back in the 50s, you didn't see that many blacks owning homes. There were just very few blacks, middle-income, career professionals that owned homes. Very few. Even in the North, there were very few that owned homes, but homes weren't as expensive as they are today. But people got together. Neighbors fed each other. What I had, you had, what she had. Everybody took care. That's how they got what, and they said, we won't depend on man. We'll share what we got. Just like the people did in the Bible. When they started the churches, everybody took what they had and pulled it together and made sure that everybody had something to eat. Everybody had a place to stay. Mm-hmm. Now, we're so selfish. We're so dependent on this money that man created that we won't stand up and say, no, we're not going to tolerate that. No, we're not going to do that, because if we do that, the government not going to give us no grant money. Rain's Place, we've been going together since 2006, since September 2006. We've had one grant, but it's been through God that we've stayed sustained.
Amen.
We're small, but we're still standing here, and it's only because of God. And so I would not tell somebody, if you're not tolerant of gays coming into Granny's Place, then you can't get a grant. Well, then we can't get a grant.
Okay.
Because I'm not afraid.
I'm thinking that people are more afraid to stand on what they truly believe and what they truly know what God has
for them. Do you believe it or not?
They don't have that kind of faith. They don't have that faith. They say they do. They say they do. Yep. They say they trust God. But the people in your time when you were coming up had that faith. They trusted God.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, they banded together. They knew what God would do for them. But these people these days are only trusting on their money, and if you don't believe in me, you're going to withdraw your money so I can't do what God has me to do because I'm dependent on you to give me your money. And if I can't get your money, well, I can't do what I need to do instead of just stepping out and say, well, God is going to make a way anyway if this is for me and in his will.
All right.
The people don't stand on that. They don't.
But man,
they trust
man didn't establish the church. Why? So that's what I don't understand. Man didn't establish the church. God
right.
did. So why would you
but
depend on what man
it.
Has?
Yeah, you're right.
To me,
but
they're afraid. They're afraid. I could be down to my last penny, and the Bible told me it's in that book that they so rarely say the book. It's in the book that I believe and trust in. It says you have not because you ask not. Believe me, when I ask for it, I'm gonna have it.
What you talking about?
But that's not the
All
principle
right.
that the churches are standing on to help get us through these controversial times.
Because
right.
they're standing on money.
Right. If you ask God for something, I don't care what it is, if it's money, if it's influence, if it's favor, if it's whatever that you need and you ask him for it and you believe that he will provide it for you, you're going to get it.
Yeah,
but
that's
the
right.
churches
yeah.
do
yeah.
not, in this
yeah.
political arena, if they ask God, what is that, 1 Corinthians, something that says that if my people return from their ways,
He will. But you don't have enough of them to do it. We could turn around. The Christians could turn around
a whole lot of this stuff.
If they stood on the word of God. Yeah.
Right now,
this country
yes.
would not be going in the direction if it, that's why I always be wondering where are we at? Why we can't walk? Why we can't march? Why we can't turn around? We're not going to tolerate this. You're not going to tell me that I got to be tolerant of a man that wants to be a woman. Why you want to be a woman? I can fix that problem right quick. All we got to do is give him a menstrual cycle, a menopause, and childbirth, and he'll go back to being what he was.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll fix it.
Yeah, let him get
that'll
that.
Fix that'll fix it. That'll fix that.
You get some of that woman
if
got you
and
on
if the
way
the Christians stood up and said, we don't want Donald Trump. We don't want, what's that other man name?
Cruz. We ain't going to tolerate all this foolishness, all this nonsense that y'all bringing
right.
up. We ain't going to tolerate it.
We not going to have it. And we just tell the Lord that's what we want. All we have to do is tell him that's what we want. If we all
band together and pray the same prayer. Yeah. Yeah.
Deliver us.
But we're all sitting around acting like we're scared. I mean,
okay.
I listened to this song the other day.
Right.
It says, I'll live for God, I'll die for God. I'll testify that I'll live for him and I'll die for him. If I'm going to tolerate, just accept anything, I'd rather just go on and be in the war and just go and die about it because I'm not going to be tolerant of anything. You're not going to tell me I got to bring a gay person in, Granny. He's like, no, I ain't going to do that.
And you're right about that. I mean, it seems, though, that in some cases, you know, people are organizing for certain particular things. Like to your point, Beverly, you got people who are part of the LGBT community, and they organize and they march and they stomp for their rights. And then you have people who Black Lives Matter, who and that's a whole other show, because while we talking about Black Lives Matter, we need to start talking to ourselves about, because we be doing each other, so we need to stop all that. But they organize and they show up. What's interesting, the Black Lives Matter organization will show up to these political campaign conventions and things like that in protest. And protest and go to jail and get arrested, just like it was a civil rights movement. Now, we see these young people doing that. So why can't the church do what the Black Lives Matter kids are doing? Why can't the church do what the LGBT community is doing? Why can't people who go down that, and even the Ku Klux Klan jumped on Donald Trump's bandwagon? And he tried that like he didn't know what it was. But, you know, even, which was crazy to me, but, you know, they even decided that as an organization they would endorse him as well, because his views they lined up with their racist views as well. And so with that being said, you know, you got all these other organizations, young people, Black people, white people, racist groups that come together and to show up at these political conventions and voice their support or their apprehension about their views, but we don't see the church.
No. We don't see the church nowhere. Now, why come all the churches don't come together and do the same thing that these other organizations are doing?
You don't even hear Eric Johnson saying anything.
No. Where is he? Where is Jesse Jackson?
They're not saying anything.
They're not saying anything. They are out there endorsing particular candidates, but they're not getting involved in saying to the churches and to the Christians, you know, this is going too far. You know, we have grown men who are inciting violence and division and racism and sexism. And, you know, Donald Trump talks about that mixed media woman, like, and calls women dogs and things like that. I mean, we just got to stop it and say, now, look here. What you're not going to be president. You're not going to be nothing. Doing that kind of nonsense. And dial it back and act like y'all got some home training, because nobody wants to vote for anybody who's acting that way. And that's not to say that Hillary is perfect. That's not to say that Bernie Sanders is perfect. That's not to say that. But we're talking about the main perpetrators of some nonsense that he's been putting out there for a minute. Now it's catching up to him right about now. But now it's gone on too long, and now they don't even know if they can stop him.
No,
you can
they
let
don't
know.
No.
You let me go home.
Yes, that's pathetic.
And now you're trying to figure out. Now you're caught between a rock and a hard place as to how they deal with him, and they don't know what to do with him at this point. And of course, it's just going to turn into some more malarkey, because he'll contest it and he'll sue. You know, he'll sue anybody. But again, the church has got to figure out it. Maybe they don't even think they have a place. Obviously not, because we haven't seen them. And we're not hearing from the ministers out there. Like I said, now there have been some ministers out there that I've seen on television that kind of came in, and they mentioned, be careful with the anger and, and all that kind of stuff, because as Christians it doesn't look good, or whatever the case may be. And one preacher was really good talk about how, you know, respect authority. That's the scripture. You know, you respect authority, even if you don't always agree with it, that you have to respect the office. And we know President Obama got no respect the whole entire 7 years he'd been there. But, but it is what it is. And so at some point, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I wish we had somebody from the ministry that would call in and say, the reason why we won't get involved is this or that, or give their opinion as to why the leaders of congregations won't organize other church members and tell these politicians, y'all going to tone this nonsense down. That's what's wrong with our kids right now. That's why ain't none of them trying to do nothing, be nothing, and go nowhere. Because they
right,
see grown elders, if you will, who are doing, who get on TV and act all kinds of a fool. So,
you know. Absolutely ludicrous. That's what I say. They, absolutely.
Showing out some ugly.
Okay.
So we got to figure out. And like I said, you know, maybe that's not the case. But
okay. Let
know,
me ask, let me pose this question to you. Do you think that once election time grows near? And they go through who is going to be the actual candidates running. Do you think that they'll step up and speak up then? Do you think the churches or the activists or the Christian leaders or whoever that will make a difference? Do you think once we get those two candidates, the Republican and the Democrat, in there for sure that they'll step up then?
No.
I don't think so either, Beverly. If they're not present here now, they're not coming.
No, and because
okay.
they didn't step up on Obama's behalf when they should have. None of them stepped up to be his spiritual leader to come in there. Now, there have been some ministers that he's brought to the White House, but when they saw that he wasn't going to get the cooperation from the Senate, and they saw that he wasn't getting the support that he should have gotten, and they saw the way things were happening, particularly with black ministers, even those from Chicago and other cities around, should have came to his aid and said, we'll stand with you, we'll be your spiritual support, we'll help, you know, guide you and direct you and make sure that we give you the strength. And if they stepped up with him then, he would have been a lot stronger than he was. He wouldn't have been so burdened like he was.
Yeah, he was out there on Lonely Island. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was out there by himself, and the black ministers didn't support
himself.
Him. Well,
y'all raise an interesting point right there because, and I will say T.D. Jakes, I think, keeps up with him from time to time and did a lot of his when he was coming into the White House and things like that. But y'all bring up an interesting topic in that, you know, we got our first African-American president.
Right.
And he has been woefully disrespected and, you know, just treated, as you can see, they talk about me like a dog. And you're right. Even then, as Martin Luther King, I believe, was listen, turned over his grave. Because
you're a full time.
Because this is something he would have loved to have been here to see himself. And what is our first African American? Who would have thunk it that we would have thought in this lifetime? And here we are.
Right.
We have our first African American president. And you're right. Not a black minister or congregation. Did not come around.
Right.
No. Like you say, Bishop did it a few times, but they should have came to his support and came together and said, we're going to step up here and we're going to spiritually support you. We're going to give you the strength that you need because we know what you're facing. I mean, you know what he was going to face. He thought that he was going to be able to change them, but he wasn't going to be able to change them because they weren't going to give a black man power. That wasn't going to happen. He can get all the money he wants, but the power is the question. You know, and that they weren't going to let him have that power. So at that time when it became real that no matter who voted him in or how he got in there, you weren't going to have that power that most presidents have. Now, all presidents now haven't had it either, but they surely weren't going to give him any of it. It would have seemed like Bishop Jakes and all the other prominent pastors and some of the small ones, particularly from Chicago and other areas that were pushing him, would have came and gave him the support and pushed that the country would support him, because if they had did that, then the citizens could have forced the Senate to do what he needed them to do. We could have forced them to do it had, you know.
Well, I think that, you know, I believe that there may be some cases where, you know, a lot of ministers have their own political views and don't support the president. And there's that evidence of the, I can't think of the minister that's a big Trump supporter. He's always on CNN tooting Trump's horn in spite of, which blows my mind. And even one of the other black political analysts said, she said, and you're a pastor, so you should be ashamed that you would support somebody like Donald Trump with the stuff that he spews and the stuff that he promotes and all that kind of stuff. You know, it didn't make a lot of sense that this guy is, and you're right, he's one of those Chicago guy, minister kind of guys, and I'm not saying anything in Chicago, hey, Chi-Town, but I'm just saying that, you know, he is a big supporter of Donald Trump, and even with all of the stuff that Donald Trump has said into the misogyny, the racism, all of that, he stays steadfast as a supporter of his. Now, that speaks to me, that speaks to that his political views override his spiritual and Christian.
With that, Carol, let me remind you that not all pastors have been called.
Oh, all right.
Come on now.
All right.
That was it.
Okay, now,
yeah,
so.
That was it.
So, that, you know, not all of them have been called now.
Not everybody been called now.
No, yeah, some of them, you know. So, you know, when they supporting stuff, you have to wonder, were they really called, or did they just decide they wanted to, you know, a career.
Yeah, and I got the feeling that this guy was an opportunist. What are you looking to get something out of this, aren't you? Like, there, you know, it's something, you know, he himself as a minister, when somebody said the Bible is my favorite book, and they talk about 2 Corinthians, and then when you saw him try to read from the book, it was so awkward. He couldn't even, I mean, it was a common verse, and you didn't really, if you, this is your book and you've read the book of the Bible a lot, by the time you ain't got to look down, you know what it say. And in his case, you've been regurgitated and said so much that a lot of times you've heard it all your life, or you've read it all your life at his age, it shouldn't have been a problem. He was like, it says this right, it says this right. And I'm looking at him like, you've got to be joking. And yet still, you got people like that minister and a lot of people who follow behind that. And to your point, mate, but then again, now Beverly just said some, you know, one of a kind recognizes his own kind. And so when we see something that ain't of, you know,
that's what happens.
Because all of them in the pulpit, then God didn't call. Some of them got up there because they were put up there, they wanted to be up there. Whatever, but, you know, so you, if he's supporting Donald Trump and you're hearing what, because when Donald Trump started out, he wasn't talking all that nonsense, but then he didn't think he was going to last this long. And then when his real thoughts came, he started getting more momentum. His real feelings started coming out. Now you're seeing the real Donald Trump come out. At first, he was very coy and everything, but now he didn't think he was going to last this long. So now he's out there. So now he's got to really say what's in his heart and in his mind, because he's not that person that he portrayed himself to be when he first started out.
That's true.
But, so, you know, at first when he was talking, I'm like, at least he's telling the truth. You know, I told him, at least he's telling the truth. The other ones, you don't know if they're telling a lie, they're telling the truth. You don't know what they're doing. They'll say one thing, and then when they get in office, they do something else. So you kind of liked him because at least he was telling the truth about things that, you know, you wanted. But then as he goes on, he starts spewing all this hate stuff, you know, and he's going against, now he's gone against Mexicans, now he's gone against people from over there in the Middle East. He's gone against the women. Yeah. Now he's against everybody. So I'm wondering, who is this man?
Yeah.
And he thinks that his money can do all things, can provide for him the presidency. Mm-hmm. But what he don't understand is, no, money can't buy you everything.
No.
Because he made that statement about he didn't need anybody, he had money.
Yeah.
He said that. And which was absolutely crazy to me. How you going to stand up in front of the people and tell them you don't need them because you got money?
Well, that reminds me of what Pastor said last week. We were studying about the man who had all these crops and had all this stuff. And he said, oh, let me just build me a bigger storehouse so that I'll have it. I can lay back and relax. And when he said that,
the
same guy said, your soul
is required tonight. See, that's what he fails to realize. He
thank
because
you.
He got money don't mean that God won't snatch that just like that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just like that.
Thank
he
you. Well, the man said he had
take
all,
it away from him. He didn't do
that
it
man
himself.
Had all them riches. He had all them riches, but did he didn't get to enjoy them riches, he was going to store up for himself.
Okay.
He didn't want
to
share with nobody.
He had to go to sleep that night, didn't he?
Thank you.
You got to come with me tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
So what happened to all that he locked up and stored up so he wouldn't have to work no more? He didn't want to share with nobody. What happened to all that?
What happened
to that?
It
went to somebody else anyway.
Thank
it
you.
Was first.
Now, thank you.
See,
so now this man got all his money.
Right, he's not understanding. Did his book tell him that? The book that he looked at? It made me wonder what book he read.
Now, we don't know what book he read now.
That's what I want to know.
He
don't know.
Now,
well, you know, they got all kinds of Bibles now.
They do.
I don't know what Bible he was talking about.
Well,
that's what
I want to know. What Bible was he reading?
What Bible was he reading?
He said 2 Corinthians. So now we don't know which
one
he was reading.
They got 2
We don't know. Yeah, he didn't say it was the King James, the NIV, New American Standard. He didn't say.
What was his show name? What was his show he had on TV?
The Apprentice. Yeah, The Apprentice.
That's the Bible he was talking about. The Apprentice Bible.
But now he's talking about his checkbook, you remember? You say he said about his money. He's talking about that Bible. You know.
Well, maybe that's I ain't understood yet.
Yeah. The checkbook is their Bible now. Because, you know, if he depended just on his checkbook, you know, that's probably
maybe
where he got the 2 Corinthians from. Yeah.
Maybe so.
If you listen to him, that dude ain't really about becoming the president. He just likes the power behind.
That's what I told you.
Powerful. That's all
he's powerful.
He don't care nothing about people in the United States and none of that. He don't care nothing about that. I mean, and God forbid, he don't know nothing about foreign issues and all kinds of stuff. He don't care. He just likes it. And when he made the comment to me, oh, I could go out to somebody and borrow their light and shoot somebody, and they'll still follow me. I said,
There's
something wrong with him. And then when people tell me supporting him, I said, see, this is that men don't sound touched on this last. This is the stuff that the Antichrist is made of. This kind of stuff.
Thank you. I was thinking the same thing.
Yes, ma'am.
This kind of
stuff is made of, y'all. When you sit up here, there's going to be somebody who, just like him, going to carry on, and people still follow him in spite of.
Thank you. When you know what he's about. And they tell you to be tolerant of everything that's against God's law. You're supposed to be tolerant of it. Now, you're supposed to be tolerant. Now, you can't discriminate against them. You can't discriminate. That's what they threaten the church with. If a gay man comes into your church and you tell him he can't play on your organ, he can't do this in your church, that's what they threaten. That's what they threaten the church with. You can't turn somebody. Yeah.
That's discrimination.
Well, that's a shame.
So that's what they think God
discriminates against gays. And
what happens to our religious rights? So why should I sacrifice my religious rights
for somebody else. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I mean, you know, and I don't, as far as gay people are concerned, like, we're all God's children, you know, and you, what you do,
yeah,
you ain't got to answer to me. You got to answer to him, but you sure going to have to answer.
Thank you.
Make
yeah,
no mistake about that. But at the
yeah,
same time, though, I mean, I've got an issue with the fact that they want to allow people who are transgender or who've changed over to come into the bathroom with me. I don't care what you have operation you had. If you got a testosterone running through your veins as opposed to estrogen, you ain't got no business in the bathroom with me. So I don't
okay,
care
no,
if you look like
you,
a woman now. You
thank
a man.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's right.
I don't
and
care what
they,
you mean.
I don't go to the bathroom
care,
with
thank
me.
You. Thank you. Now, I ain't trying to come in with you, so don't you try and come in with me. Thank you.
I ain't got no beef with them. I want them to live their lives
so,
as happily as anybody but, else. But at the same time, why should I put my religious, my spiritual beliefs on the shelf and sacrifice and cut them up in pieces so that you can live
you,
how
you
want
to
live?
The way you
want to
live.
Right,
right.
And it's against
right,
everything that I believe as a Christian,
right.
So I'm not gonna do. Unfortunately, I'm not gonna be able to do that.
But wait a minute, we're supposed to be tolerant of them, but they're not supposed to be tolerant of us.
Yeah,
and
they don't have
crazy,
to be tolerant of Christians. They have. We have to be tolerant
crazy,
of them doing whatever they want to do. You,
yeah,
you can. You know, if you want to
yeah,
be LGB, then let them create a bathroom for LGB. I found
yeah,
God only created man and woman, and man had decided he gonna create his own gender.
Yeah.
Mm.
And
so you need your
good
own
to me.
Yeah.
I tell you, y'all, this is a good topic tonight, ladies. I am certainly glad that we got a chance to just explore this. We're going to have to get ready to get out of here, but I praise God for the topic. I thank you, ladies, for your opinions and comments and participation tonight. And for those who are listening on cyberspace, please join us again on the second Tuesday. I mean, I'm sorry, second Monday of what is this? This is April, and we will be back with this topic on the second Monday of May. Come on and join us and do your research and get your comments and let's talk some more about this politics and faith. And
yeah,
we're
going to do some more advertising about this so we
yes,
get more women
and
on the
also,
yeah, this
I,
right here,
I
this
want
good
to
right
find out
yeah,
if we can get us a,
yeah,
get us a
right
real
here,
minister
we need
on
some,
the line.
Yes, yeah, tell some of these
that,
ministers to come on and get
yeah,
in. But I want
come
to
in and call in and tell us why they sitting
yeah,
down and
yeah,
not doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the perspective. I want a minister's perspective on this and see what the what their take is on it. So
yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
And you know what?
Find
I
us one.
An invitation. After we don't, we're Christians. We don't. We're not discriminatory against people. If you're from the LGBT community and you want to give us your take on something, we'll call in and
we'll listen.
Yeah, it's not about hate.
It's all about love.
Oh yeah, we love everybody. It's not,
we
all got people. Make no mistake about that.
No mistake.
Yeah.
Oh,
this
is
good.
All right, we're gonna get ready to get out of here. We have a minute and 37 seconds, and I want to let our listening audience and invite our artists that is listening by cyberspace on their computer to join us on Saturday, April the 16th at the Mighty Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church for our first annual conference, Relationship versus Religion. How about that?
All right.
We will start at 10 a.m., and it will be from 10 to 12. Lunch will be served afterwards. We're going to have some good fellowship, some good word, and some good food. So if you're not busy, come to 4802 Burma Road, Dallas, Texas, 752 1-800-273-1616 and join the Women of Distinction of the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church for our first annual Women's Conference. Men are invited also, so bring your friends. There's a $5 donation, but if you don't have $5, you can still get in the house, okay?
Come on in.
All right now.
So come
All
on
right.
by, come on by, yep. come on by. We want
yes.
to see you there. Praise God. And we're going to ask Carol, did you pray us out last time?
I prayed us out last time.
Okay, Beverly, you can do it.
Come on, Beverly,
Father
can
God,
you
we, Father God, we thank you. We thank you so very much for waking us up today. We thank you for being with us all day. I listened to Pastor Stanley on yesterday. He said that if we follow you, we'll listen to you, that you will instruct us, you will teach us, and you will guide us. And, Lord, we depend on your instruction. We depend on your teaching. We depend on your guiding. And, Lord, we ask you that you touch our nation. We are in turmoil now from one end to another. And we ask that you guide us and help us to understand what's going on and teach us how to get out here and teach someone else your word. Help us, Lord, to understand and help others to understand what we as Christians should do. And, Lord, we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the praise. And, Lord, we just thank you right now for Jesus. We thank you for your love, your kindness, and your mercy. And we just thank you for being our God, for being our Savior, our healer, our waymaker, our burden bearer. And, Lord, most of all, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your love, for loving us and keeping us and taking care of us. And for keeping all your promises to us, Lord. And we're
yes.
just so grateful that we serve a wonderful, loving, and kind, and generous God that always wants to look out for our good. And when you just ask for our obedience, ask for us to trust and believe in you. And, Lord, we stand together on this line. If two or three are gathered together, you said you'd be in our presence. And, Lord, we just thank you this evening for being here, for
thank
giving
you.
Us the knowledge and giving us the understanding of what your will is for us, Lord. And we're going to spread your word one by one.
Hallelujah.
Each person that we meet. And letting them know that Jesus yet lives. And we give you the praise and the honor and the thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies. I feel
God bless you.
I feel stronger.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you.
Enjoy the rest of your week, ladies, and praise be glory to God for you. And I love you all. We'll
love
talk
y'all.
Later.
Love you too.
Good night.
Yes.
All right.
Good night.
Bye bye. Thank you,
bye-bye.
Carol. Bye bye.
Thanks, Carol. Bye bye.